Thank you, Lisa. Good job. Ooh. Well, I would like to meet with Bruce and Patty and Judy and Jim after church because I am so impressed that what brings David great joy is raking leaves. And I'm sure there's enough people in here, we could provide a lot of joy to David. And I would love to be able to teach Atticus, Bruce, as he gets older. That's a good thing, man. Work hard, do my chores. Yes. That's every papa's dream, every grandpa's dream for sure there. Anyway, grateful that you're here as we worship God this morning. You know, every time we enter here, it's not that this building in itself is different than other buildings we walk into as far as, you know, the materials it's made with. But what makes it different is it's a place that's set apart to meet God. And hopefully that is why we come, because we want to have an encounter with the living God. He is unlike any other. And He has promised us through Jesus Christ that we too can know Him, that we can meet Him. And so as we gather here this morning, we're talking about practicing the presence of God, the reality of the truth, guys, that He is with us. And so turn with me to 1 Peter. We're going to look at two verses this morning, verses 15 and 16, our text. And I'll ask if you stand in God's honor when you find it. I'm going to read the text. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Let's pray. God, I'm grateful for each one here. And most of all, I'm grateful that You are here. Would You please continue to speak to us, oh God? You have through music and prayer and opportunity to give and in many ways, Lord. And we just ask You continue to speak to us, God, because we want to hear from You. And so, Lord, I just want to get out of the way and let You speak. And so I pray, oh God, that's what would happen. Minister to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is actually a second part of a sermon covered last week to kind of go together. In speaking about holiness, being set apart to God, and just briefly covering what we looked at last week, in verse 13 we start out, He said, therefore prepare your minds for action. In other words, we have to intentionally consider what we think about, because our thoughts can be uncontrolled and go all over the place. And He says, hey, prepare your minds for action. We're in a spiritual battle. And then He moves on and He says, also, don't be controlled by your emotions. Life's not just about how you feel, but your emotions must be also brought under control. And that's what He says in the next part of verse 13, where He says, be self-controlled. And then thirdly, He tells us to set our hope fully on the grace to be given when Jesus Christ is revealed. In other words, we're to have a hope that we set on Him, the living God. There are a lot of things we can hope in that don't last. But our God is forever. And we can trust in Him. And then there's one more we covered last week, and that's to put behind us old habits. And He tells us in verse 14, He says, as obedient children, don't conform any longer to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. That means before you met Jesus, the life that you had apart from a connection with the living God, don't go back into those old habits, that old way of life. And that brings us to two parts I want to look at this morning, points four and five, really. The first is to get serious about our calling. He tells us in verse 15 of our text, just as He who called you is holy. Guys, we have been called. Matter of fact, it's interesting. Through the book of the letter of Peter, Peter's letters, 1 Peter, he tells us in chapter 2, verse 9, that He has called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. That's 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Then He tells us later on in, He tells us, I guess before, chapter 2, verse 21, He says He's called us to be patient in the midst of our suffering that others might see Jesus. Then He tells us on in chapter 3 and chapter 5 that there awaits for us, man, a blessing and eternal glory, and that we need to be aware of that blessing, and that one day He's going to deliver us from the struggles that we face now and that we have here, and that is where we need to look. He makes it clear that we are called. And guys, we're not just called out of the darkness into His wonderful light. We're not just called for the glory that awaits us when we step out of this life and enter into eternity. We are also called now to be set apart to live for God, to be uniquely His. He hasn't just called us to be saved. He's called us for service, to serve Him. And so He tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, I love this, verse 3, He says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Man, it's not just about how much power and strength I have. It's not just about how much you have. It's His divine power that lives within each of us who belong to Jesus Christ. He says it's His divine power, and it gives us everything we need for life and godliness, for the moment to follow Him and obey Him and be in the power of the Spirit of God. He commands us, be filled with the Spirit of God, that the presence of God can mark our lives, and that we can live according to that Spirit in that very presence. Man, and it's by His glory, His goodness. And then I love the next verse, 2 Peter 1, verse 4. He says, through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may escape the corruption in the world, and that we may be free to live in Him. Guys, that's what the verse talks about. In other words, He empowers us to live for Him now, to be set apart. And it is a calling that He gives us. Robert Murray McCheyenne was a preacher that lived a number of generations ago who was known for his passion for God. He only lived 6 short years. But he's written books and he's made a great impact on those who want to grow closer in their walk with God. If you're finding any of his books, Robert Murray McCheyenne. And he was known because he had a passion for the glory of God. He wanted to see the glory of God. He was known because he was preoccupied with God. He was preoccupied with the grace of God, and he was preoccupied with the preaching of the gospel because he knew he needed a Savior. He needed one to deliver him and set him free. That's where his preoccupation was, with a living God and with a Word of God and for a heart of God. And here's a quote from him I want to share. This is good stuff. He says, remember, you are God's sword, His instrument, a chosen vessel unto Him to bear His name. In great measure, according to the purity of the instrument, will be the success. It is not great talent that God blesses so much, has great likeness to Jesus Christ. A holy Christian is an awesome weapon in the hand of God. Be like Jesus. Our calling. But next, not only the importance of being serious about our calling, is this next part, to get honest about the truth about holiness. And broken this down into three subcategories. The first is that it's comprehensive. Notice what he says in that verse. He says, in all you do, be holy in all you do. It's not just compartmentalized. You're not just to be holy when you're in church and Sunday school and reading the Bible and prayer. I mean, yeah, you're to be holy then. But man, you're to be holy all the time. And all that you do is to be for the glory of God. We're not to compartmentalize, that's a big word, compartmentalize our lives. But man, all our lives are to belong to Him. That is so critical, and that is so important. Back when Israel first became a nation in modern times, after it had been apart for many years, the leader of that nation met with a Christian. And as the leader talked to him, he said, I am a Christian. Jesus has changed my life. And the leader, he being Jewish, he said, hey, I've read the New Testament. He said, I've even, you know, read it in the original language in Greek. And he said, I am really interested in the way people who gave their heart to Christ in the Scriptures, how their lives were different, how they were unique. And he said, but do people today really exist like that? And he continued in his testimony. He said, listen, God has changed my heart. He's changed my life. It's not that I'm perfect as a person, but I am being perfected in Jesus Christ by His Spirit as I walk with Him. And He makes a difference in me. He's really changed me. And he says, are there any others like you? He said, man, there are Christians all over the world, people who have discovered the awesome grace, the amazing grace of God, and trusted Him as Savior, and it's impacted and it's changed their lives. And that's the hope. People say, what difference does it make if it makes no difference? But when Jesus really gets a hold of us, it makes a difference. It ultimately does make a difference. May others come to the conclusion, because we are uniquely pure, Christianity is uniquely true. Uniquely true. You know, we talk about holiness and we say, like, holy matrimony. You know, does that mean that our spouse is perfect? I have to be careful with these sermon illustrations. I do have a perfect wife. No, you know what I mean. Seriously. The point is that holy matrimony is really talking about not the fact that the person you married is perfect or holy, but that, man, this is a sacred vow that you are making, that you will be faithful to this one that you are giving your love to and your life to. And when it's a unique relationship, and God said it's to be above the other relationships, that our relationship with our spouse is set apart. And when we say this is a holy book, we mean this book is unique. It is like any other, no other book is like this book. That's why we call it the Word of God. I love this quote by Abraham Kuyper. Listen to this. He says, there is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. It's all His. It's all His. Okay, second sub-point here. Holiness is not only comprehensive. Holiness is not something new. He says, be holy in all you do, because it's written. Hey, this is a reference that Peter's making to another book in the Old Testament, in Leviticus. And Leviticus, it's a lot of rules that talks about God's people are to be uniquely set apart from the other nations. And it can be tough to read through that book because there are a lot of rules in that book. But the point is not about the rules, the point is about how God is changing and transforming us in the likeness of His Son, and that is ultimately what makes a difference. Okay, and then lastly, holiness isn't something you create. It's someone to whom you conform. We're called to be like our Heavenly Father. We're not called to be like the other children around us. I love children, but if I'm in a group of children too long, I start going, blah, 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 blah. Like, oh man, I'm going nutso. Some of that's probably because I'm getting old and my patience are going down, you know. But, you know, it's like I don't look at the kids and say, I want your kids to be like each other. Are you kidding me? I'm looking at them and they're crazy. They're all over the place, just jumping around. No. We say, I want you to be like your parent, your father, your Heavenly Father is who we are to be like. Not like each other. Yeah, we look at each other and say, I admire that in this person. But ultimately, I want to look like God. I want to look like Christ. He's made me in His image, and I want that image to be shown. One monk, he got it all wrong. And he wrote this to the other monks who were together. He said, what is holiness? And he wrote, forsake colored clothing. Remove everything in your wardrobe that is not white. Are you kidding me? If it was white, once I washed it with other colors, it wouldn't stay that way. Okay, remove everything. No longer sleep on a soft pillow. I don't like this at all. Or take warm baths. Oh, I don't like cold showers either. In other words, you can't enjoy any comforts if you want to be holy. And if you're sincere about following Christ and holiness, never shave your beard. Okay. For to shave is an attempt to improve on the work of Him who created us. Guys, it's not about following a bunch of rules. It's about following Christ. It's about following Jesus. And sometimes we can disagree on what stands out. It's you know, not about the clothes that we wear. It's not about the music that we listen to. It's not about the color of the carpet in the sanctuary, how tall the pulpit is. It's not about certain rules that we think set us apart. It is about Jesus. That is what it is ultimately about. It is about Him. And people need to desperately see that. Justin Martyr, who was a historian in the second century, he was writing about believers, and he was giving a defense, we call it apologetics, a defense of the faith, and he did mention some truths about Christianity, the necessity of the resurrection of Christ, how there, you know, no one ever found the body, and he went on with some of those, but he also made another argument, and to the emperor of Rome, he said, look, if you want to see the power of Christianity, look at the purity of His followers. How there are people who don't live for themselves. How there are people who really want to love God and want their lives to be set apart for God. Can you imagine today if we said to our government leaders how we know that you are a good leader of our land is how you treat us and how you treat one another? I'm not going any further with that. I am so tired of hearing everybody bash everybody. And God forbid that we as believers do not stand apart from that. People should look at us and they should see that we love one another. They should see that we're kind and that we're caring. I read an illustration I was going through here of an evangelist that went to India, and he talked about speaking in that land that's dominated by Hindus, and he noticed a lady in the motel in which they were staying who worked with great diligence, and she always had a smile on her face and she was always very kind, and he said, I knew it might be a risk for her, but I just had to talk to her. So he said he went up to her and he said, I've been watching you, the way that you work, and your kindness. And are you a believer in Jesus Christ? And she said, oh, yes, I love Jesus. He said, I knew it. I knew it by the way you act. That's what he's talking about here. Being set apart so that Jesus is not just somebody we talk about. He's our life. We're uniquely his, set apart for his service, that people see kindness. I'll give you an example. Yesterday I went on that bike trip and watched Jim eat several things. Anyway, while we were there, man, there were more people coming down that trail than I anticipated to come down. We went to this restaurant that I love the food, but I also love the fact there's this great ice cream parlor beside it, you know. So we usually go there. Anyway, we sat there. We went to this back room to have our food, and there were so many people there and people outside, they took a really long time for us to get our food. But we sat back there, and we had a lot of fun laughing and just enjoying each other's company and all that stuff. Anyway, by the time our food finally came, by the time we got ready to leave, this poor waitress came to us and she said, oh man, somebody got really mad at me. And they really unloaded on me. And, you know, I couldn't help it. And, you know, I noticed the guys around me, they just encouraged her. They said, oh, we know it's busy. We know this was tough. It's okay. Thank you for working hard. You know, thank you for doing a good job. And she left. And, you know, she said something to the effect, I can't remember her words exactly, but, you know, it was something that mentioned God. God bless you or whatever. And, you know, to mention his name is to also mention I care about you. It's not to be unkind or to unload on each other. They'll know we are Christians by the love we have for one another. And you know what? They'll know we are Christians by the way we treat people even outside the church. Patience, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That marks us. That sets us aside. Called to be holy. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for another opportunity to look at your word, Lord. How we are to be set aside for you. Lord, it's not about our great talents and gifts. It's about a great likeness to Jesus Christ, as McCheyenne wrote. And Father, I pray for us here who are your kids, your children, that we might look like Christ. That you might continue to change our appearance, Lord, that you might shine through us. Let this light of mine shine, Lord. And Father, I pray that for all of us. And I pray now, Lord, as we want to do business before you. And Father, as we have heard from your word, Lord, what do you want to do in our hearts? And Father, with an altar that's open to pray at the altar, with a chance to listen to the Spirit of God speaking directly to us, may we simply say yes to whatever the call is, Lord, as you speak to us. If we need to come forward, Lord, to say something specifically to the body of believers here or to personally pray with me, then Father, so be it. May that occur. We just want to say yes to you and your call. And so, Father, in this time that is sacred, that is holy, may we listen to you. In Christ's name we pray as we stand and sing. Amen.